From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Later in today's show, we break open the bubbly with a discussion of champagne. Tomorrow is International Champagne Day, and we'll chat with a master sommelier who's an expert on the region of France and the famous wine it produces. But first, the Alliance for the Arts in Lee County serves as a kind of regional hub for arts and culture here in Southwest Florida. The Alliance's 10-acre campus hosts more than 100 theatrical performances each year, as well as music concerts, gallery exhibitions, film screenings, festivals, a green market, poetry readings, stand-up comedy, classes for art enthusiasts of all ages and mediums, and much, much more. This season, Alliance for the Arts staff are working to facilitate an ambitious schedule of events, including the Arts on Tap indoor pub crawl, that's tomorrow night, and the Theater Conspiracy's performances next month of the award-winning play Seven Guitars. The play is one installation of August Wilson's American Century Cycle, which explores the African-American experience through each decade of the last century. Joining me now in studio for a closer look at upcoming events at the Alliance is Brandi Kaus. She's the organization's Director of Operations and Education. Thanks for being with us in studio today, Brandi.
Oh, thank you very much for having us, John.
And we're also joined by actress and director Sonia McCarter. She's nearly completed work towards her theater degree, and she's directing the Theater Conspiracy's performances of Seven Guitars, which again will run next month from November 3rd through the 18th. Thanks for your time today as well.
Thank you very much.
And I invite listeners to join the conversation. Studio lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. Or you can send us a tweet. We're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And Brandi, first of all, can you give us kind of a brief overview of what the Alliance for the Arts is and does here in Southwest Florida? You're a nonprofit organization.
Yes, as you mentioned, we are the local nonprofit organization for Lee County and the surrounding area. And we do kind of two different pillars to service the community. One is through our programming. As you mentioned, we have a full host yearly, every year, of awesome stuff, from the theater to the concerts to the green market. But then another way that we serve the community is through advocacy. So we provide a space for working and teaching artists to have jobs and to improve their own economy. And we also then partner with other arts organizations and recently partnered with the Americans for the Arts on an economic impact study. This comes out every 5 years. And what this does is it pulls in data and then quantifies how much the arts contribute to the economy. And John, the numbers are staggering. Last year, we completed this survey, and in Lee County, the arts, nonprofits, arts organizations brought in $140 million total economic activity just to Lee County.
Just in Lee County.
Just in Lee County. And that results in almost 4,000 full-time jobs, 89 million household income in Lee County, and 18.8 million in local and state government revenue. And that's all nonprofits organizations.
Right, right. And I do think we spoke with the director there, Lydia Black. Usually every year she'll come on and give us those numbers.
Yes.
And there was a recent article in the Florida Weekly, if you missed it, that you can get more details on that too. What about yourself? How did you end up working at the Alliance? What's your background as it relates to the arts?
I was a music teacher for 17 years, the last 11 of which in Hendry County. So my family was moving to Fort Myers, and there was an education opportunity at the Alliance that came up. And so I started as director of education. And the Alliance is just such a wonderful place where the arts and culture and community are a focus. And so it was delightful to get into a job with education in the arts where my job is to say yes to things. My job is to find a way to make this work and support the people in our community and the artists and the kids and the adults. And just the wonderful things that happen at the Alliance.
All right. And does everybody you work with there at the Alliance have, a background in the arts in their own way?
Some do and some don't. Our executive director, Lydia Black, she has a background in nonprofit management.
Okay.
But loved the mission of the Alliance and has been just a rock star in making the Alliance a place that everybody should come to.
Right. And I know you've been with the organization since 2013, I believe. But the history of the Alliance goes back to like 1975. So there's been quite some explosive growth over that more than 40-year time period.
Absolutely. And I think every year it's just an exponential addition to what it is that we do.
Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and take a sneak peek of events coming up this season. First of all, Arts on Tap. That's tomorrow night. Tell us about this event. What can attendees expect?
It is an inside pub crawl. So instead of going, having to drive to all of these different pubs, you come to one place, crawl to the Alliance.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. And so then you'll get, for $50, you get entrance, you get tastings from several different local breweries and distilleries, and then wine, of course. And then there's bar food and snacks. And so, you know, we suggest, hey, get an Uber to the Alliance. Crawl around the Alliance and then get an Uber home, and you can do it all in one place. And in a beautiful place where you're in the middle of the gallery, so there's art and eclectic placements all around you.
All right. And then Saturday we've got a Rocky Horror Picture Show, that event. Now, that's sold out.
That is completely sold out and has been sold out for a while. We are amazed at the response to that, so much so that we're thinking about making it an annual event.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you didn't get a ticket this year, it sounds like you'll be able to do it
next year. And we've had a lot of people say, you know, why don't you just add another night? But there are all kinds of things with licensing and permitting that doesn't make that really possible. So
Right. We
are looking forward to next year of now knowing how many people in this community are interested in that.
Now, is that going to be that sort of traditional Rocky Horror event where folks dress up and, you know, say the lines along with the characters? Are there going to be actors performing it in front of the screen?
Absolutely, yes. The amazing Trifids are coming, and so they will be shadow acting the whole thing, and there will be props for sale, and I'm sure people will bring their own props. And so, yes, it's going to be the full deal.
Oh, it takes me back to childhood. I'm going to get a ticket next year. Well, and then on Sunday, the local Rotary Club is presenting a backyard family bash. Tell us about that.
Well, that is, like you said, put on by the Rotary. It is a free admission, but a donation is suggested to help them, you know, continue these kinds of programmings. And they support, with this fund, they support nonprofit organizations in the community. And so that's one. You come out. There are going to be food trucks, beer trucks, live music on stage. So, you know, bring your chair, your blanket, and just come and have a wonderful time with your community. It's one of those things that we so much like to do at the Alliance is just provide a space where the community can come together and have a really good time.
By and large, do you strive to make, you know, most or all of your events, you know, family-friendly, kid-friendly?
Yes, for the most part. So, for example, Rocky Horror is a, you know, rated R picture. So
Right. That's
one that's not. But we have so many other things like the family movie night, the, like you mentioned, the backyard bash, several other festivals. And so, yes, the entire family is invited to just about everything. There may be a theater show every now and then that's a little, you know, older centric,
Right. But
most of the things that happen are, yes, for the entire family.
Well, I know there was a recent event, like a Take Home a Nude art event. And even that was kind of – it was kind of tongue-in-cheek. That was still something you could have brought your kids to.
Yes, that was a fundraiser several years ago, yes.
Okay. And, you know, also coming up later this month, there's going to be an open mic poetry night, bluegrass music concert, and diva comedy night. Can you tell us anything about those events?
Well, the diva comedy night is – Take Two. We did this last year to, you know, great pleasure of people. And it's three funny and fierce female comedians. So it's a stand-up comedy show. And last year I worked it, but I had to stay outside. And, you know, it just drove me crazy listening to the
hordes
of laughter. Yes. And I was like, ah, what am I missing to be out here at the front desk?
All right. Well, I hope you get to see it this year. and Sonia Mercarta, you're going to be directing
in the process.
Yeah, you're well into the rehearsal schedule, I'm sure. Can you kind of give us a primer of August Wilson's award-winning play, Seven Guitars? I think I maybe mentioned earlier it's set in my hometown of Pittsburgh in the late 1940s. But what's the play about? What would you want folks to know coming in?
Well, basically, it follows the life of seven friends, and it centers on Floyd Schoolboy Barton. And the show opens with his death. So you begin the show knowing that he doesn't make it. But then you learn you get the journey that leads up to his death. And it's a show about love, about friendship, about duty, about betrayal. And that's one of the things that I love about August Wilson, because even though he writes about the Black experience, everything is told through the lens of those universal themes of love, of friendship, of duty. of honor.
Right. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about how this play, you know, fits within August Wilson's broader body of work? Because as I understand it, he's got plays that are really exploring the African-American experience in each decade of the last.
Right. Yeah. So this is, again, you already said the 1940s, and mm-hmm. he starts right in the 1900s and continues on into the 1990s. And even though this play was written in 1995, one of the things that is so relevant in this play is that we still see some of the same issues that the African-Americans were experiencing in those earlier decades now, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was one of the questions I had was, you know, as you're going through this and kind of, I imagine, going through the rehearsal process, you're probably reflecting on these themes more than somebody who just goes and sees it once. But, I mean, do you find it maybe a little bit depressing or discouraging that, you know, you're looking at these themes like pervasive institutional racism through the lens of the 1940s? But here we are in 2017, and these themes in many ways are just as relevant today as they were 70 years ago.
You know, I wouldn't – depressing isn't the word, because unfortunately, this is our life. It is the Black experience. We've had to deal with it in the past. We deal with it now. What I take from this play is that indomitable human spirit, that no matter the oppression, no matter the prejudice – these seven people are determined to live a life full of love and joy and to get those things that everybody wants. And if you look throughout the history of African Americans, you see that continually. Even in the midst of slavery, right. We were inventing, we were marrying, you know. So, you know, even with the pressure that everyone experiences in life, there is still joy. There is still that desire to see your dreams come true. And that's what you see in this play.
Right. Do you think that this is a story that perhaps Southwest Florida audiences in particular need to see? And by that, I mean, you know, I mentioned earlier, I grew up in Pittsburgh. And, you know, whenever I was, you know, looking into the play and I was looking at YouTube clips of other performances and seeing the set, and I'm like, oh, that's the Hill District. I know this community that this is set in. And when I moved here to, you know, subtropical Southwest Florida, of course, everything's different. But one of the things that was exactly the same I noticed was this profound degree of racially segregated communities. You know, do you think that this is something that could really resonate with audiences here, or, you know, as a message that they, you know, really need to consider?
Yes and yes and no. And I say yes because, again, there are a lot of similarities as far as the segregation in those predominantly Black and Hispanic neighborhoods, just like in the Hill District in Pittsburgh. But one of the things that really stood out in this play that unfortunately does not happen as much in our community, in the Dunbar community specifically, mm-hmm. Is in the Hill District, you had the Crawford Grill.
Yes.
Where you have, you know, musicians like Dizzy Gillespie and Coltrane, and it was thriving with the jazz era, and they created so much, and there was so much culture there, and you know, even they thrived in the midst of the neglect. Here in the Dunbar area, we don't see as much of that that cultural, artistic expression that you saw during that time. Mm-hmm. I would like to see more of it. I would like to see a Dunbar that is thriving, and you have your own art centers where the people of the community can express themselves artistically, where we can have a theater that focuses and features African-American drama, Hispanic drama, even Asian-American drama, mm-hmm. you know, just a place where we can just showcase, because we don't have it. I'm thankful for Theater Conspiracy. I'm thankful for the Alliance. I'm thankful for Bill Taylor, who said, you know what, we don't really have this in this area. We're going to make sure that we have theater that can speak to not only our constituency, those who always come to us, but a broader audience. Yeah. I love that. But it would be wonderful to have that for ourselves.
All right. And switching gears just a little bit, I know that roosters are another kind of reoccurring theme in the play, representing you know, something about like black manhood. But then at one point in the story, one of the actors actually slaughters a rooster. How do you manage that in a stage production?
Well, it won't be a real rooster.
Well, right. I assumed as much. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that, you know, in the life of the play, as the actors, they are so wonderful that they're going to draw you into this story. And so that even though when you're looking on the stage and you see a rooster and you know that it is not real, because you're going to be so engaged in that story, you're going to feel the power of what he's doing and why he's doing it.
Right, right. All right, well, we're discussing upcoming events at the Alliance for the Arts here in Southwest Florida. Listeners can join our conversation. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. You can send us comments or questions on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, or you can send us a tweet. We're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And, you know, we've just been on the subject of, you know, how this upcoming play, you know, serves as an educational tool or can. And Brandy, in that spirit, I was hoping that maybe we could highlight some of the educational components to what the Alliance for the Arts does. What kind of classes do you offer? I know that's a huge question because you offer all kinds of classes.
We do. We offer all kinds of classes. And if you don't see a class that you're interested in, when you go on our website, artandlead.org, then you just call up or send me an email and like I said, I try to say yes.
I'm
I find
yes
a way
person.
To say yes.
Yeah,
so we try to find a way to make that happen. But we do have some really interesting things that are coming up here. For example, we have a watercolor workshop that's coming up just this Saturday in the midst of all of the other events that we're doing. We have visiting artists from San Francisco coming in November. We have a really neat do-it-yourself printmaking workshop where Mama Sauce is coming from Orlando to come down and teach people how you don't need to have all of these print and press machines to be able to make your own type of print stuff.
Yeah.
So we have adult classes in just about every medium, you know, not just your painting and drawing, but things like polymer clay where you make your own beads and, like I mentioned, the printmaking. And then we also have youth classes. We have traditional runs of classes for visual arts classes for kids as young as kindergarten, going all the way up through teens. We even have a hula dance class for kids as young as three up to 16. So the best thing to do is to go to the website because it's just too long for me to list here. But like I said, if you don't see something you like, give us a call and we'll try to say yes.
Yeah. and I know you're in addition to the events you plan out far in advance, you're responsive to the community needs as well. We were talking just a little bit before the show about, you know, this impromptu arts camp that you guys threw together while kids were out of school. Hurricane camp. And you don't have electricity. There's debris down all over the campus. And yet you're like, we can do this. We're trying to fix our own houses too, but we're going to do this.
But absolutely. The community had a need for, you know, what are kids going to do while they're out of school and mom and dad still has to go to work. And so this was a wonderful partnership with Broadway Palm Dinner Theater so that they worked together with us so that we could have the 40 kids. I know it wasn't a great number, but still 40 is better than nothing.
Yeah.
But the 40 kids come, do visual art projects during the day, walk over to Broadway Palm, have a lunch there, and then get to see a show. So not only, you know, helping with hurricane relief for families, but a really cool thing for kids to get to do.
Yeah. And, you know, on the other end of that, I know the community comes out and helps you guys. There were lots of volunteers coming to help you clean up the campus after the storm.
Absolutely. It is so much about community. So, you know, we shout out and do something like that. And so then we ask, you know, hey, can anybody come and help us clean up? We had tons of debris on our campus. And we had two different volunteer days where total together there had to be more than 50 different volunteers who came and lugged and schlepped and dragged stuff for 4 hours in the morning on those Saturdays so that we cleaned up the entire campus in just two Saturdays. And then one of the beautiful things was there was an organization in Cape Coral, Peace Day, who could not hold their annual festival because the parks were closed. And so they reached out to us on Thursday and said, hey, can we hold this on Sunday? And we're yes people. And so one of the things they did was they came out and helped us with our cleanup efforts. And then Sunday, the campus was ready for their big festival.
Excellent. Excellent. And I know coming up in January, again, kids are going to be off of school for that first week in January, there's a winter arts camp.
There is a winter arts camp, and this is in partnership with the Florida Rep. They run their arts camp on in our facility, and then they do the same thing for spring. And then, of course, it doesn't seem like it, but summer is really just around the corner.
Oh,
and
so,
don't remind me.
Right? Having to plan so early ahead. And then, of course, we have our 8 or 9 weeks of summer camp there at the Alliance as well.
And how often are, you know, the educational offerings you have there generated by an idea or interest that's been communicated to you by an Alliance member?
Oh, very frequently. Mm. I get both class proposals from teaching artists who have either heard of us or have worked with us or done something else with us. And then I also get somebody who calls, you know, very frequently and says, you know, I'd really like to have – I'd love to see an alcohol inks workshop, for example. And I say, you know, I think I know somebody who can teach that. And so then start exploring through that. And then if there's something that we can't do, we find a way to – if we can't put it on the docket, well, let's find who else is doing this.
Right, right. Well, and you're also going to be partnering with the News Press next month for a storytellers event. Can you tell us much about that? That sounds really interesting.
Well, that is coming up. That is something that is new on the docket. And I, like everyone else, I'm going to find out how that goes down when it happens.
All right.
But we do have several storytelling events. We have Bill Lepp is coming back again. And he's, what, like 5-time winner of the West Virginia Liars Award. He's absolutely hilarious. And then he also does a workshop in the same time frame that he's there so that if you're interested in storytelling, you can come and learn how to do that. And I just had someone the other day saying, you know, I love to tell stories, but I don't know how I would do that on stage. Well, here you go. Come
right.
to this workshop.
Excellent, excellent. And you know, looking into 2018, I was wondering if there were maybe any particular events that you wanted to make sure we highlight. I know the Screaming Orphans are returning in February. That's always a crowd pleaser.
Yes, and we have several different – we have some youth theater productions that are coming up in addition to all of the theater conspiracy productions that are coming. We have Asia Fest. Oh, we have a big band classics outdoor concert that's coming in February, just right after the Screaming Orphans. So February is going to be like the month of music. And then we also have a really neat evening with author Lori Lyko Albanese. She wrote Stolen Beauty about Gustav Klimt's works. And then we also have a workshop where you can learn to paint like Gustav in the same month.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. And Sonia, turning back to you, I know for this upcoming performances of Seven Guitars, you're directing. So you're, you know, not on the stage. But can we perhaps expect to see you on stage for future theater conspiracy performances?
Yes, actually, in Gideon's Knot, which is coming up in February. At Theater Conspiracy, I will be performing in that. It's a two-woman show. It's a very compelling story about our educational system.
Oh, okay.
Yes, very good.
Can you wet our whistle for that one a little more? Just give us a little teaser.
Well, you have a parent who comes to a parent-teacher meeting and to discuss her son and the fact that he was sent to detention for or expelled for an act in class, and the mother doesn't agree. And so there's this whole dynamic of why did you do this? And I mean, what the son did was pretty horrific, but the mother doesn't think so.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
And can you maybe give us some insight on, you know, your feelings regarding the dynamic of working on a show like that when it's just you and one other actor carrying the entire performance versus working with an ensemble cast?
Well, actually, this will be the first time that I've worked in a show where it will just be the two of us. But the content of this particular play is so compelling, and the language is so rich, and it will have you on the edge of your seat. I don't see that it's going to be – like, I can't wait.
Right.
I'm so excited for this show.
Me too. Well, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about, you know, Alliance for the Arts membership, what's involved, and the benefits.
Oh, absolutely. So the The benefits, including having social opportunities, are that you get 20% off of all of your classes and camp prices. You get 10% off of gift shop purchases, discounts at all the theater shows, and then, like I mentioned, the social opportunities, which is one thing a lot of people have said that they really appreciate, these members-only activities, like members-only poetry, members-only open studio, members-only events. And we keep saying members-only, but it's so easy to become a member. You can be part of that only. It is $55 for an individual membership. It lasts an entire year, not from January to March or whatever, but from whenever you sign up to a year later. And then it's $80 for a family membership, and that gets everyone in your household those same invitations, those same opportunities, and those same benefits. And when you're looking at summer camps, for example, 20% off of that for an entire summer is a huge saving. It completely outweighs the cost of the membership.
All right. So it's not like signing up for health insurance, open enrollment seasons all year long.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Anytime. You can even do it online at 2 a.m. in the morning if you want to.
All right. Well, we are about running out of time for this portion of the show. But, Brandy, are there any final thoughts you want to leave with our listeners?
We'd like to say please come out to the Alliance. If you have never been there, we are at 10091 McGregor Boulevard, the corner of McGregor and Colonial. We have so many people who come in and say, I drive by this every day and I've never been here and I'm so glad I stopped in. So if you haven't been there or you haven't been in a while, please stop by and say hi, find out what we're doing. And if you come frequently, we look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you so much to my guests who've been with us in studio today. We've been speaking with Sonia McCarter. She's an actress, and she's directing the Theater Conspiracy's upcoming performances of the August Wilson play, Seven Guitars, that will be at the Alliance's Claiborne and Ned Folds Theater from November 3rd through the 18th. Sonia, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've also been speaking with Brandy Kaus. She's Director of Operations and Education at the Alliance for the Arts. Brandy, always great to hear from you.
Thank you. It's fun to be on this side. I listen so much from the other side.
Well, we're taking a short break, but when we return, Julie Glenn will be in studio to talk with a master sommelier about the legendary sparkling wine Champagne. What makes it so special? Find out next. I'm John Davis. This is Gulf Coast Live.